May it please the court, my name is Benjamin Stein, and I represent the petitioner in this immigration case challenging the constitutionality of the word encouraging, found in the provision of the INA referred to as the alien smuggling statute.
So, can I just ask a question? Are you not going to argue the Castro-Tum issue?
I think the Castro-Tum issue, I understand the doctrine of constitutional avoidance, but because the decision in this case to Bradman Close was premised on the alien smuggling, on the smuggling ground, I think that the court can't avoid first acknowledging the constitutional challenge. So
it's a very strange posture because we have no idea what he did, in fact. And we don't know whether he could have come under the other phrases in the same statute. It's extremely peculiar. I mean,
He simply
says, well, I encourage my son, and we don't know whether he sent him money or took him across the border or paid the coyote or just said, son, I'd like you to come here. We have no idea.
Exactly, and that illustrates, so he admitted to encouraging, which we believe that just could be speech alone, and we believe for that reason the encouraging provision of the statute is facially overbroad and thus unconstitutional. And the first
maybe it could or couldn't under the statute, but there is a historical reality to what he actually did that either is or isn't, and we just don't know because the parties have sort of arranged not to tell us. Is there any light that you can shed on what actually happened in this case?
Would he encourage through his words to have his son unite with him in the United States?
And that's the issue in this case is, what does the word encouraged mean in the statute? So I'm struggling, and I think this was the point of the Judge Berzon's question. It's a little bit peculiar for you to say, well, he encouraged, when we haven't yet decided what that means.
This court in deciding, as the court stated in a previous panel decision in Sinning, which was later vacated by the Supreme Court, just because of the way in which the issues were presented, but not because of the rationale of the decision. I mean, there's no reasonable way to interpret encouraging that does not reach a substantial amount of protected speech.
But this is the question. Was he charged with encouraging? Did the government take the position that he was encouraging? Or he just walked in and said, I was encouraging?
He conceded to the word encouraging under what he understood to be the plain meaning.
The government didn't say, well, actually, you're actually aiding and abetting and inducing as well. They didn't say any of that. They just said, okay, fine.
No, the only thing in the statute is encouraging, which...
No, it's not the only thing in the statute. See, that's what's so strange about it. Unlike the statute in Sinning Smith, and as you know, I know something about the case, what it was encouraging or... Was it inducing or...
Yes. We read the statute as being...
But it didn't have the aiding and the abetting and everything else in it. That was in different provisions.
Right.
Reason for taking it very seriously, the encouraging language, mm-hmm. as independent.
So in this case, he conceded only to encouraging. The immigration judge agreed that he was unable to show good moral character because of the encouraging. I mean, he conceded to encouraging only. He didn't concede to aiding, abetting, assisting, inducing. And that's because encouraging has a plain meaning. Had encouraging been read to have more, as the government would like encouraging to be read, he would not have conceded that. And that's why any reasonable reading, as the court found in Sinning, of encouraging, it reaches a substantial amount of protected speech.
Suppose we were to read encouraging to mean, essentially solicitation, some direct connection to a specific violation of the statute. Would you still concede that he had encouraged, if that's what encouraged means?
No, we would not have.
At this point, how does it work procedurally? You're sort of stuck with the concession you've already made, right?
Well, we're stuck with the concession to encouraging. I mean, so like, if it actually means, so we don't, it doesn't mean solicitation, we think, because that's a clear case where encouraging has a plain meaning. If the Congress wanted to say solicitation, they would have written solicitation.
What does solicitation mean that's different than encouraging in this context? I mean, if he called up his son in Mexico and said, I really miss you. I really want you to come over here. Please come. Is that solicitation? Or it's encouraging. Is it solicitation?
Saying that please come would be encouraging. I mean, solicitation has a meaning of making some offer or some transaction. Like if he said, for example, if you come to the United States, I'll pay for you, or I'll, like that might be a solicitation. If there's some kind of transactional agreement, then that would be solicitation. Encouraging, by the plain meaning of the word, the way I understand the word encouraging, the way my client understands the word encouraging, can mean just speech. Like, for example, it could be a grandmother that says, I wish you would come to the United States, to her son or to her grandson. It could be a non-citizen attorney who correctly advises a non-citizen that the only means to seek asylum is to come to the United States, even if that person doesn't have lawful entry documents. It could be a doctor who informs a foreign national that life-saving treatment is only available in the United States with full...
I mean, so in the abstract, right, you're obviously right that you know, the word encourage can be understood that way, and in ordinary speech often is understood that way. But you know, even before we get to the canon of constitutional avoidance, we have principle of nocere socius, and you know, this is in a list of other things, you know, induced, assisted, aided, and abetted, that all suggest a sort of specific, you know, direct involvement in some violation of the law. Why isn't it more reasonable to read it narrowly, you know, based on its connection with those terms, than in the broader way that you're describing?
Because each of those terms prescribes a separate activity, and to read out encouraging for what it actually means, for what we all understand it to mean, would be to render the term superfluous. Right? I mean, even in Williams, in Justice Scalia, in the case where he was saying promote, in the child pornography case, saying promote should be given a meaning with the other subsections, with the other words in the statute, he still, even in that case, said that an example of protected speech would be, I encourage you to obtain child pornography. Like, how can that be, how can that use of encourage be protected, but not a grandmother saying to their grandchild, I encourage you to join me in the United States? If the court were, I mean, if, and that's how I understand the word encouraging. And because it could affect all types of speech, a doctor, it could affect an activist who, you know, who gives a speech declaring her support for open borders, a public speech, and encourages people to come to the United States. Like, it affects discourse, it affects every, potentially affects the speech of all non-citizens residing in the United States. And that's a substantial amount of speech, and it would cause them to chill them from speaking on an issue of national importance like immigration law.
Right, but I mean, I don't think anyone, I mean, I guess we'll hear if the government disputes this, but I don't think there's a very serious dispute that if we read encourage the way you're reading it, there's a, you know, a significant issue under the First Amendment. The question is, why should we read it so broadly? And, I mean, you've mentioned... you know, the canon against, you know, making it superfluous, but I'm not sure why that requires reading it quite so expansively as you're proposing. So what is it about the statute that should lead us to conclude that encourage has this, you know, very capacious meaning that you want us to give it?
Well, because what, I mean, the word encouraging is commonly understood, and so, I mean, to say that encourage means something else, to say encourage means also some offer or some sort of act, it's no longer encouraging. I mean, as the court found in Sinning, right, there's no way to read the word encouraging without acknowledging that it can be speech alone.
Well, I mean, the model penal code definition, you know, it has an offense of solicitation, and its definition of that uses the word encourage. And I don't think anyone has ever thought that that has the kind of meaning that you're giving encourage, that you want us to give encourage here. So, you know, it's not like it would be so novel to read it more narrowly, is it?
To read it.
We have, aside from Sinning Smith, we have at least one case which says that encourage means give people hope and so on, right?
Yeah, you have, so in you've come, where it says like encourage should be given its own definition, to inspire, to give hope to, and then the court in Sinning then said that. And so,
go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, encouraging should be given its plain reading because that's how we all understand it to mean. If you if encouraging doesn't mean what I believe I'm a person of ordinary intelligence, but if it doesn't, if it's not meant what I understand it to mean, then we have a void for vagueness issue. But
does it make any difference at all? I don't know if you've read the oral argument in Sinning Smith, but there was a lot of discussion of the fact that the, I'm not sure I necessarily see the connection, that what was being encouraged there was not a crime.
Yes.
It was evidence in the United States.
Yeah.
Here, I understand you have a sort of little argument about that because he was a juvenile, but ordinarily, coming into the, crossing the border is a crime. Does that matter for any reason?
Well, I think we have the argument that it's not a crime, but also, yeah, I don't think so because
in this particular instance, but that would make it a very narrow case.
Right, but I think still that the situation where just simple encouraging, it doesn't fall within the, it's not integral to a criminal activity. Simply encouraging someone to come to the United States is, it's not proximately tied enough to a crime or even the conduct. Like simply,
it's not a distinction that matters.
No, I don't think so. I think like, for example, solicitation requires something. In this case, just because a grandmother would say, "I wish you would come to the United States," that doesn't mean that the grandson is actually going to come to the United States, or the grandson might come years later. It's an example of protected speech, and because it doesn't fall with, at step one, the statute is construing the statute shows speech. At step two of the overbreadth, the question is, does it restrict protected speech? And the two exceptions to protected speech that the government advances are incitement, but this isn't the kind of situation that would inspire a breach of peace or violence, or there's not even necessarily a specific intent that the person commit a crime. And then with regards to speech integral to criminal conduct, just words alone cannot be enough to be integral to criminal conduct. And then,
well, they can sometimes under Brandenburg, and it can be incitement, but again, we don't have any idea what happened here, so we can't tell whether it's that.
All that was admitted to.
And I suppose if he was standing by the border and the guy was at the other side of the border and it was his young son, he said, come right this minute. I don't know. Maybe that would be a Brandenburg thing.
I don't think that would satisfy the Brandenburg test. That would be such imminent lawlessness. But the point is that this is so broad and it touches so much potential speech that it can account to doctors, attorneys, activists. And it's not narrowly tailored enough for the government's legitimate purpose. The government has all these other ways where they can exclude people from the United States, and they can do it within the statute through the other means, but they can't do it by penalizing such a broad swath of protected speech. Right. May I please reserve
the time? You want to reserve any time?
I've reserved the rest of the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Craig Newell, and I'm here on behalf of the Attorney General. The court should deny this petition for review because the board did not abuse its discretion in denying Mr. Marquez's request for administrative closure, and his substantive constitutional challenges are without merit. As to the facial overbreath challenge under the First Amendment claim, which was the majority of Mr. Marquez's argument, what I'd like to point out to the court is that there are a number of limitations here to prevent reading encourage in such a broad manner as Mr. Marquez advocates. This inadmissibility provision itself, the object of it is that the alien had to encourage another alien to enter or attempt to enter in violation of law. So this is a targeted speech to another particular alien to commit a criminal action, which is illegal entry or illegal reentry. This is not broad-based to cover, I wish you remained here, which would just be a civil violation of immigration law.
We are very hampered by the fact that we have no right. But
yes, I understand.
What happened is that Mr. Marquez called his son in Mexico. Was it Mexico?
Yes.
And said, I really miss you. It would really make me feel a lot better if you tried to come across the border. And I encourage you to do so. Is that, you would say that is not a First Amendment protected?
The first question is whether if he just picked up the phone and said to his son, I wish you would come to the United States and live here with me, that would not fall within the statute itself. He would have to encourage him to say, son, I need you to cross the border illegally and get in here, no matter what. That would be an example, and that would not be protected speech.
He knows his son's in Mexico, and he has no legal way to come, and he says, come. That wouldn't count?
If he asked him to illegally enter, which through not a port of entry, I mean, he could have told him that.
And he knows he has no status, and he knows he has no way to come legally. That's what he's asking. I think that's a silly answer, but let's suppose he's more specific. And he says, son, I understand that you don't have any legal way to come here, but we're really missing you, and I'd really like to try and get across the
Again, there. If you look at the statute itself, there are the fact that this word encourage is one in a list of words, and to construe this word, it should be done with the words around it. There's induce, encourage, assisted, aided, and abetted. Those are all language normally used for facilitation or solicitation of crimes.
Your argument that it means the same thing as induced, assisted, abetted, or aided, and it's simply a reiteration, which happens occasionally, or is it that it means something else that's like induced, assisted, abetted, or aided, and what is it?
It's like the other ones. It is restricting the encourage from not being this open-ended, I hope you come.
So what is it? It's not literal. It's something other than the literal meaning of encourage. What is it? Tell me what it isn't, but what is it?
It's to persuade another person through, and this is a point I haven't mentioned yet, is to persuade this one other particular alien to commit a criminal act of illegal entry, and it needs to be done with, this is back to the Altamirano v. Gonzalez case, that case talked about this exact provision and said the plain meaning of the statute requires an affirmative act of help, assistance, of encouragement.
Does that mean I'm sorry, Judge Berzon.
That case dealt with whether just sitting there be aiding or abetting, but it didn't differentiate the language, and in fact, it says it needs a affirmative act of help, assistance, or encouragement, but it wasn't focusing specifically on encouraging. The affirmative act of encouragement is something other than language, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a good example of... I guess there's 2 points. I'll give this example first. In the Moran v. Ashcroft case, that's also cited in our brief, that person was found inadmissible for encouraging his. And it was the decision focuses on the word encouraging his wife and sons to illegally enter the country. And yes, he did make aspirational statements saying, "Oh, I wish you would come here," but he did more than that, and that felt. And that was substantial evidence for encourage. He arranged for a smuggler, a payment of the smuggler through the wife's parents. If it were to be just viewed as language, it's not protected speech. It is akin to solicitation. It is asking for someone to commit the crime of illegal entry or illegal reentry.
But that's where in Synonym Smith, the Solicitor General argued that it was essentially equivalent to solicitation. Is that what you're telling us here, or do you think, and that was in 1324, do you think this statute is different or Are you saying the same?
It's similar in that manner. It is different in the manner that it more fills out. It has all these accompanying words that make this. It's a really broad-based thing. It's referred to as the alien smuggling inadmissibility ground. So it's really targeting those who solicit or facilitate the illegal entry of others.
What is solicitation? I asked this here. How does the solicitation differ from the definition of encouragement in our earlier case about giving people hope and so on?
Right. And that is a good point. What is the difference? I mean, we end up defining words. The word solicitation, for example, under the Model Penal Code, is defined with the word encouraging. I mean, you think of other words like it, like persuading. I mean, even inducing is very similar to it. Maybe a little more heavy-handed than encouragement. So we are talking about words that ordinarily are pretty broad, but there are limitations here that make it not about a substantial amount of protected speech. That's another thing that should be remembered, that this is a facial challenge and it needs to show a substantial amount of protected speech. For example, the hypotheticals given about the non-citizen attorney. If a non-citizen attorney contacts an alien in Mexico who tells him that this alien outside the United States says, I have this strong persecution claim, I'm afraid. If that alien attorney here in the United States suggests to him, as in Mr. Marquez's hypothetical, to show up at a port of entry and seek and say, I have a fear of returning and like to, you know, put forth a credible fear claim, that wouldn't be a violation of the illegal entry or the illegal reentry criminal statute. That's fully consistent with the INA that you get to apply, that you can do that, and that attorney would not be soliciting a crime. He would be recommending someone follow the law.
Suppose you said, come across the border and not in the illegal entry, but you can, as soon as you get here, you can apply for asylum. And I think you'd probably get it. What about that?
If the attorney says, just come over the border.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to do it, because right now, in fact, they're not letting anybody at the border. So you can't do it. You have to come illegally.
That attorney could be putting himself in jeopardy of doing that by encouraging someone to cross the border illegally. That is a crime, and that is classic non-protected speech.
Even if you thought he had that was good legal advice, because he had really a really, really strong asylum claim once he got it.
The good legal advice would be to show up at the port of entry.
But right now, if you show up at the port of entry, you don't get anywhere.
I understand that, but here we're talking about a facial challenge, and we're looking at this in the abstract, and whether there's a substantial amount of protected speech being prohibited or that falls within this statute, and that's just not the case.
Can you go back to something you said a moment ago where you, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought you were suggesting that to count as encouragement, you had to provide some assistance. But solicitation doesn't necessarily require assistance. So can you clarify that?
Right. Solicitation does not. And that's why...
But does this statute? I mean, if this statute means solicitation, let me put it concretely. So, if I say to somebody, you're in Mexico, come here. If you get here by Tuesday, illegally, I'll give you a job. I'm not going to help you do it. Get here on your own, and then I'll hire you. That it seems to me would be solicitation, but I'm not doing any help. Is that covered by the statute?
Right. It would be. Okay, yes, okay. That's soliciting the criminal act of illegal entry.
If the statute meant solicitation, why didn't it say soliciting?
Why isn't that
with an inducement? I mean, is
right.
It, example, within inducement.
the words induce, I posit that the words induce and encourage are in many, I mean, those are words that are used as synonyms, used in definitions of solicitation. So those two words are kind of your solicitation part of this. And then the assisted, aid, and abetted are your facilitation part of this. And altogether, what you have here, by looking at all the words together, and that's how we should construe this, you have a provision covering the facilitation or the solicitation of illegal entry into the United States. And so if Alta Moreno is read only to talk about the facilitation part and the affirmative act is only about that, it's still solicits, it's both. This is both.
Right. I have two questions. One is, with regard to the overbreath of the statute, do you look only at the encouragement part or do you look at the whole statute? In other words, one thing I was wondering is whether in determining whether there's substantial... See, we didn't have this problem in Sinan Smith because it didn't have the action parts were not in the same statute. But here, the action parts are in the same statute. And so in determining whether there was substantial overbreath, do you look at only the word encouragement or do you look at the whole statute? That's one question.
Hey, Your Honor, I think you should look at the whole statute and not read this in isolation. That is, if you look to the Williams Supreme Court decision, that's how the Supreme Court handled, I mean, very open words like promote or present child pornography, but it construed it amongst the other words there. Here, Mr. Marquez has tailored his argument to just encourage, but really, this is a list of words that are broadly viewed as covering solicitation and facilitation of a legal entry, and so it's just not covering a substantial amount of protected speech, and so that's why the First Amendment claim should be rejected. I know that I have limited time left. If
only 50 seconds.
50 seconds. If on the administrative closure, just to emphasize that this is an abuse of discretion review. The board looked reasonably through all the factors necessarily, and this request really was inappropriate. It was seeking to circumvent.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the facts, not about the Castro-Tum issue.
Yes, Your Honor. This decision was issued prior to Castro-Tum. And the propriety of Castro-Tum should be looked at in a case where it was directly applied, which I know is following myself today. And if there's no other questions, I thank you very much for your time, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stein.
So in that hypothetical regarding the non-citizen attorney who said the speech of having a non-citizen come to the United States, I mean, that is an acknowledgement that words alone can constitute encouragement. There was no offer by the non-citizen attorney in this context. And every time when the government says encourage means need to, it means asked, I mean, that is not my understanding of the word encourage. My understanding of the word encourage, and I think as the Ninth Circuit noted in Sinanithing, is that it can be simple, it can be speech alone. It doesn't require any transactional, it's not solicitation. If the government wished to say solicitation in the statute, they would have said solicitation. With regards to Alta Moreno, in the cases that are analyzing the smuggling provision, the cases that found that there wasn't smuggling in Alta Moreno and in Thumb, in those cases, there was no language. I don't think there's any doubt that Alta Moreno, if they were in the car and Alta Moreno said, get in the car, let's go, I don't think there'd be any doubt that that would be considered to be encouraging. And that's because encouraging has a plain meaning, and we all know what it means.
Do you happen to know, this is the other question I meant to ask Mr. Newell, but never got to. Is there any administrative or court case law specifically on what encouragement means in this statute? And has it been applied by the Immigration Courts in the way that you're suggesting at all. We know that whether it has.
I couldn't find any, but that's, that's because when a non-citizen, and they write on a form, like, were you encouraging? I mean, that has the meaning that we all know it to mean, and they would concede, yes, if I said, please come to the United States, that might be encouraging. There's no offer, but under the plain meaning, that would be encouraging.
Yeah, but that's still the mystery about this case. I mean, how did the government know whether he told us, I mean, was he listening to the phone calls? How does he know whether they're encouraging his son to come? I mean, one has to, I mean, frankly, presume that whenever a young person comes to join his family, he's been encouraged to do so. It's very unlikely he wasn't encouraged to do so, especially if he's fairly young, as he was here.
And that's the problem with the statute, is that encouraging, with that language in the statute, is that encouraging penalizes clearly protected constitutional speech, especially in relation to the legitimate goal of reducing unlawful immigration. They can accomplish that goal through...
But we don't seem to have any case in which anybody's been denied cancellation of removal that we know about, I mean, in some visible fashion, for that reason.
I mean, here my client conceded to the plain meaning of the word.
Yeah, right, but we don't know what he did. I mean, that's
right. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the problem. Maybe he shouldn't have conceded it. Right, right. I mean,
but to say that he should have foreseen that the government, that it was going to be encouraging on steroids, that it was going to have some kind of like act requirement, like that's just not, that's legislating into the word encouraging another requirement that's not part of the plan.
I mean, is this kind of question asked routinely? Do people say, did you encourage your son to come? And he just said yes, and that's what happened.
I would, yeah, it's on the forms that like an immigration attorney would fill out in the adjustment of status. So for example, on the I-45, which is the adjustment of status form, it says, have you ever aided, assisted, induced, abetted, or encouraged? It doesn't say, have you ever taken any act and conduct to encourage?
Well, I know, but if you check that off, that wouldn't do it. I mean, in other words, at that point, we're not focused on the word encouragement. So the only way that this would be isolated is if, in some fashion, the question was directly asked, did you encourage, not did you aid, abet, such and such, such and such, and such and such.
Yeah, I mean, it says that on the forms that one has to file.
But it doesn't say one by one. It says the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. But I mean, the or, that it's in the disjunctive, I would take that to mean that it's or, so it could be encouraged or abetting. I mean,
you think that's all that happened here? He just checked that?
That's, I think that's all that's before that he pleaded. I mean, that's all that he admitted was encouraging under the normal understanding of the word.
Yeah.
On remand.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you all for.
Thank you.
Argument in a intriguing case. The case of Marquez Reyes versus Flores submitted. We will take a 15-minute break.
Thank you.